Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature my recent conversation with Emily Harper. Emily is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2021, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, what led her to Darden, what the impact of the Executive MBA program has been for her thus far, and much more. So without further ado, here is my interview with Emily Harper. Emily, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brad. It's great to be here. It's always nice to talk to the Darden admissions group. I haven't gotten to see you guys in quite some time in this COVID world, so it's great to be together.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for taking time out of a workday, no less, for the podcast. We're so appreciative of that. How are you doing? How are you and your family holding up during this time?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm doing great, and I feel like that might be a really different experience than other classmates. I'm really fortunate that my family just consists of myself, my husband, and our dog. And we both have jobs that are really easy in terms of working from home, or at least I do. So it's been kind of minimal impact for me in terms of, family work-life balance and shifting to a new normal.
Are you able to still stay active? Are there new hobbies that you picked up here in the midst of the pandemic? Anything that you'd like to share here?
You know, I'm really jealous of all of the people who are finding these great new hobbies during COVID. I have not had the time to entertain new hobbies, but, it coincided with gardening season. So my husband and I are always fans of doing the summer vegetable garden, and we had a little bit of extra time to put into that this year being home. So that was nice. It was our first year of really good tomatoes. So that was exciting, but wish I had more time for the more intellectual hobbies that others have had time for in this environment.
I think gardening is just fine. Whatever people want to do to sort of create a diversion from everything going on in the world, I'm all right with that. Tomatoes, that sounds promising, though. Anything else you grew in the garden this summer?
We did hot peppers, cucumbers, herbs, squash. So the tomatoes were really the standout this year until the animals started getting to them, unfortunately.
That does seem to be the way of most gardens. So I'm glad you are doing well. And again, invited you on the podcast to talk a bit more about your background and your story and your experience thus far. Can you believe it? You are in the second year of the program on the downhill side. Does it feel real that the end is approaching, if not exactly near?
You know, it's pretty unreal. I feel like just yesterday I was at LR1 in Charlottesville, and everything just goes by so fast, and I'm sure everyone says that, but in a blink of an eye, here we are halfway through, and it still feels fresh. I'm still excited for classes and the program, so it's been a great experience thus far.
I'm glad to hear that. So for our listeners tuning in here to the podcast, tell us a little bit more about you and your background and what you're doing currently.
Sure. So I am currently a wealth advisor at a small independent wealth management firm in Old Town, Alexandria. I started my career in financial services, which was not a natural fit for me. I attended the University of Virginia for my undergraduate education, and I studied art history and French. So how I got from that wonderful liberal arts experience to financial services, wasn't necessarily a preordained path, but upon graduation, I needed a job, and I found a great job in financial services that fit my current skill set, really specifically around, customer orientation, customer service. And I realized I was actually really interested in it when I started at the firm that I started at. So I was really excited to learn more and to advance the more technical skills associated with working in that world. So I worked my way up through a couple of different types of advisory roles there, found my way into a management position, and I was a very young manager at that time, and I found myself really missing the client work that I was doing. I really liked managing my team, but I missed being front and center with clients. So I decided to pursue my certified financial planner designation. And, the timing worked out really well with wrapping up that education piece with finding a job that seemed like the perfect fit at the perfect time at the firm that I'm now at. So I came in as a financial planner and really got to get my feet wet with doing more advanced, in-depth, personalized financial planning for our clients. And it's a really great firm in terms of getting to learn a little bit of everything. So even though I'm a wealth advisor and I'm primarily working with clients, we're such a small organization and really just managed by the two co-founding partners. So there's a lot of opportunity there to dip my toes into marketing and work with our portfolio manager and operations. So this has opened up a very broad array of disciplines, and that was partially what led me to wanting to pursue my MBA.
Yeah, I remember those days when you were a prospective student. We were talking a bit about your path forward. Is an MBA something you had thought about for a long time, or was it a relatively recent idea?
It's something I had always had in the back of my mind, especially loving my time at UVA as an undergrad. I really wanted to pursue another degree at the university in some form. And the nature of the firm that I work in is such that there's a really interesting path to leadership for employees, the partners ultimately want to create an employee-owned firm. So as I started to really get my feet under me there and realize that this is somewhere I may want to be really long-term in my career, that's when it became very clear to me that getting the MBA and getting a more formal educational experience in some of those things I might not have learned as an undergrad, along with the leadership focus at Darden were the things that really let me know it's time to get serious about this.
And what about Darden specifically resonated with you? I'm sure being affiliated with UVA didn't hurt, but were there other aspects of the program or experience that appealed?
So for me, it was really the opportunity to get the executive format, but still receive the same MBA degree that the residential students receive. I really wanted a program where I would be able to, maintain my job, but attend class in person and become part of a community where you're really getting to know your cohort and learn from one another and, experience those in-person opportunities for learning, Once I started really digging into what the Darden EMBA program offered in terms of the opportunity to get to come to class in person on weekends and have a mix of in person and online and just being able to fit in with my schedule, that was huge for me. In addition to the case method, I remember as a prospective student attending an economics class and just being so impressed with how it seemed, the discussion wasn't, predetermined. It really, it was really dynamic and dependent on what the students in the room were really contributing to that conversation. And it really struck me as an actual student in that same class. I remembered the topic and we ended up having, a very different conversation in that class than the one that I had observed. And I think that really speaks to the case method being, very experiential, very particular to a group of people that are learning together at a point in time.
You're right, because the mix of people in the room influence the conversation. And I've always wondered, for people who come from that liberal arts background, Does the classroom experience, admittedly, the subject matter might not be entirely familiar, but the experience of reading something and preparing and going into class to discuss that thing, does that at all line up with your liberal arts experience? You sort of think about how the case method works, where it is about preparation and reading and getting ready for class and being able to participate in class. Did you find any similarity between, say, your undergraduate experience in Darden?
That's a great question. Similarities in the sense that you are, you know, definitely preparing material ahead of time for a class. But I'd say the classroom experience is very different in the sense that you are really applying, the case to, you know, you're learning real world application of the case that you've prepared. So you may have read a case and prepared a spreadsheet and have all the numbers, but being able to engage on the topic and speak confidently about, these leadership topics or these managerial topics, it is different from, attending a lecture or even a small group discussion class where the material is very focused and you have, very specific questions that you're trying to answer ahead of time. It's more of a, this is right or this is wrong. Whereas with the case method and being in the classroom, you never feel like anything was wrong necessarily. It's really about learning from one another and being able to apply the material more so than, knowing all of the case facts and, checking boxes that way.
We have some brand new students, right? The first year class of 2022, and they just had their first weekend residency. And in the gear up for that weekend residency, we were talking with some of the students about sort of the feeling that you have as a new executive MBA student and how you can feel maybe a little bit nervous and anxious as you get adjusted and adapted to learning in the case method. I wonder if you can think back on what that learning curve was like. Did you notice that it got easier or you got better at preparing for class, at being engaged in class?
Yeah, so I think it's a learned skill. It's really common to come in on the first weekend residency and not really know what to expect. Even though you've spent a week at leadership residency in Charlottesville or remote in this case for the new class, most likely, but you're still getting to know people and you're still really figuring out how you learn and how you best prepare. So I think there's definitely an element of nervousness up front for everyone, those first couple of weeks of class, but you really start to see how the professors engage in the class, what they expect you to come to class, prepared to speak to. And I think, the benefit of having a learning team and being able to, prepare ahead of time with other people is wonderful. I relied a lot on my learning team the first, and I still do to this day. We're maybe one of the few learning teams that still really try to work together each quarter, but your learning team is invaluable in helping you, get prepared, feel confident coming into the weekend. And it's also a good validator that, not everyone feels 100% comfortable with material all of the time coming into class, and it's okay to, prepare a case a little bit on your own, work with your learning team to fill in some gaps, and still come to class, with questions or, not feeling like you fully, have it all figured out. That's what the whole learning process is for.
One of the popular topics here on the podcast is related to kind of reacclimating to being in school. For most of our students and for our listeners out there, it's likely been some time since their last educational experience. Even if they did a master's or advanced degree, it's been a few years. What was the biggest learning curve for you, or what were some of the things you had to adjust to as you started, your executive MBA program?
Yeah, so I think for me, the biggest thing that took some adjusting to is just the time management aspect and how that is so different from you know, when you're an undergrad or maybe even in other some other you know, degree programs where maybe you're not working full time. I think everybody, you know, is so busy with their careers in an executive MBA program, and it really takes time to, you know, get into school mode at the end of a long work day when you know you have to read a case or you know you have to prepare for a team meeting and you're tired, it's been a long day, and you just have to power through. And on top of that, you know, managing family, like I said, I might not have as many challenges there as others. You know, my classmates who have children, they're always prioritizing time with their families, and I see their kids on Zoom during class, and I'm amazed at their ability to balance it all. So I think just getting very disciplined about how you divide up your time was the biggest challenge for me in getting used to being back in a learning environment, because you do want to devote, you know, this is a big commitment for a lot of people, you know, in terms of time and finances. So you want to devote yourself to, you know, getting everything out of it that you can, while still having that work-school life balance that we all need.
One of the strategies that I've heard pretty consistently from students in the program, and I'm curious if this resonates with you, is to do a little bit sort of continuously, right? So rather than letting the work build up on you, just given how busy you are, you know, maybe focus on doing a little bit of work every night, or just kind of incrementalizing the work, because it can be harder to carve out time given how full people's lives are for, say, 7 or 8 hours of uninterrupted study. But of course, everybody has their own schedule. I'm curious about how you approached managing the workload.
Yeah, so I definitely take the approach of spreading the work out over, you know, over time, and trying to do a little bit every day. You know, the first quarter was a learning experience, and I felt like I needed to spend a lot of time preparing my cases for the first weekend residency, which you certainly do. But I crammed so much into a weekend rather than, you know, trying to space my work out really effectively throughout the work week. So I learned very quickly that trying to do all of my work on the weekends was not going to be something that works for me. So I'm kind of old school. I really like planners, and I like to write things down. So I ordered myself a new planner just for school so that I would stay on top of kind of writing out what I need to get done every day, to feel really prepared, especially going into those weekends where you're covering, you know, 9+ cases, you know, do a little bit each day so that you're not feeling overwhelmed or like you're cramming it in. So that's worked really well for me. And that's something that I try to stay disciplined about, but it's hard when things come up. I think you also just need to be mindful of milestones that are going on outside of work and school in your personal life, and make sure that you, you know, aren't giving yourself too much work to do when, you know, there's an anniversary or a birthday, and planning around those things so that you can still make time for the people in your life.
Yeah, we've had students on here who talked about sort of managing their life in 2-month increments, because essentially that corresponds to the quarter structure in the executive MBA program. As you know, Emily, have you taken that approach where basically every quarter you sit down with your husband and talk about what you have coming up and what's on deck, or have you taken a longer view? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I've definitely taken a longer view, and it's probably because we don't have as many of the complicating factors as other people might have in their lives. So it's really easy for me to have the long view, but, you know, look at things kind of week to week and say, here's what I have going on, you know, this week that I need to really have time for. Something that I did find really helpful, and this was a recommendation of the admissions team at the very outset, was to talk to your friends and family about, you know, what's going on in your life over the next year and a half, because, you know, you're going to have to say no to some things that you would otherwise want to say yes to. And I made it a priority up front to be really clear with our extended family and friends about just the commitment that I was making, And, you know, really trying to plan as far in advance as possible if there were going to be weddings or, you know, big family events. And of course, COVID has changed all of this. So sometimes it feels like I'm going from week to week and managing accordingly. But, you know, every quarter kind of has a very similar cadence for me, in terms of you have your distance learning on, you know, 2 or 3 weeknights, you have 2 weekend residencies, and it gets pretty easy to start, you know, getting into that rhythm and knowing how to plan for that when you look at the big picture, at least for me.
No, that's great advice. And, you know, you make a good point about the sort of social commitments. I think that is of the things in people's lives that oftentimes takes a back seat over the course of the 21 months of the program. It's the social piece. It's probably the area where people do feel like they have some flexibility, because work is a non-negotiable. Family is a sort of non-negotiable in many ways, and school is also kind of a non-negotiable. So the program has an interesting way of helping you very clearly figure out your priorities at any particular time, which in some ways is a benefit, but it also is it makes things potentially complex, and you have to have those conversations. So you're now in quarter 7 of the program. It's a 10-quarter program, so on the downhill side, as previously remarked. When you look back on who you were at the start of the program to now, how do you feel like you've grown, changed, evolved? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, so I would say I've become a lot more confident in the past, you know, year that I've been in the program. You know, you might recall, Brett, some of our early conversations when I was a prospective student, of coming to you during coffee hours and asking, like, are there other people like me in the program, other people who have backgrounds like me? Like, I was apprehensive coming in initially. And I remember at Leadership Residency 1, where Jim Dietert talked about imposter syndrome, and, you know, we're all here because we've all worked really hard to be here. But sometimes you look around and you see how impressive your classmates are. And, you know, you do wonder how you stack up sometimes. And I had to learn really early on to, you know, come into the program without feeling like I was, you know, not as strong of a candidate because of my liberal arts background or because I have a different career experience than others. And I think having the professional advancement course up front, along with the opportunities to, you know, receive some coaching from, you know, external coaches, not just Dart and Career Services, was really immensely helpful in, you know, just helping me become more confident and understand that, yes, I belong here, and I've become more confident in my decision making. You know, I came into this program really wondering if I was on the right track, and, you know, if I wanted to stay in the industry that I'm in, if I wanted to stay at the firm that I'm in. And the program has really helped me learn how to frame issues and frame decisions and be very confident in how I approach, you know, answering those tough questions, and feel good about what I've decided at the end of the day.
That's great to hear. And you know, you mentioned that sort of LR1 experience where everybody's together, sort of the welcome moment and looking around, sort of taking stock of their classmates. And that sort of feel of it, it's interesting to me because everybody has had an incredible life, career, done all these great things. And yet, you know, that moment, people always feel like everybody else deserved a place in this class and somehow I slipped in. And what we really do feel it's important to reiterate again and again that everyone is here for a reason. You earn this spot, because that is the absolute truth. And I think what people learn as they go through the program is everybody has something to contribute to the conversation. Even if you don't have direct experience with a particular topic, you may not necessarily be the subject matter expert in finance, but even in that finance class, there's a perspective you can offer. There's something you can contribute to the conversation. And I'm curious if that's been your experience, Emily, as you've now gone through most of the core curriculum at this point. Has that played out in your first year or so in the program?
Definitely. So especially in those courses that are maybe the more core, typical business topics, very quantitative topics like accounting and finance, the direction that the conversation goes sometimes because someone had just a really interesting or different perspective that you might not have expected to hear in a class like that has been really enriching. And that has helped me be more confident in participating in some of those classes where I feel like maybe I'm not the technical expert on that topic, but I read, I read the case in an interesting way based on my own experience or perspective, and have a different tilt to an interpretation than somebody else. So I would say it's having the diverse perspectives and the diverse experiences in the room is wonderful and is really what makes part of this learning experience in this community so special, because you're hearing things that you're not going to read in a textbook or you're not going to get by just being in a room full of people like yourself.
That's a great point. And I think the thing that we stress with prospective students really is there's actually a few things. One, we are absolutely thinking about that mix of people in the classroom and what that conversation is going to be like and what you're going to contribute to the conversation. However, it is important to note that we are also looking for people who are open to other people's perspectives, right? So it only works if you both talk and listen. And so that's one thing. But the other thing is, I think Darden attracts people who are really interested in being active participants in their educational experience. And that's not just in the classroom. That's also outside of the classroom. So Emily, I'm curious about, have you been involved in any of the executive MBA student organizations, or are there any other things that that also sort of round out your program experience?
Yeah. So, when we were able to all be in person for weekend residencies, and this even extended to online when we had to make the shift because of COVID, but I think Darden did an excellent and does an excellent job of bringing in outside speakers who are just really impactful. So it was called Friday Night Live, and I always really enjoyed attending those and just getting to hear from leaders who weren't necessarily affiliated with any of the cases that we were talking about that weekend, who just had an interesting experience and perspective to bring to the room and share. That was enjoyable. We did a really fun improv exercise. There are always tons of things going on from a programming standpoint. It's really hard to, commit to just a few because you want to do so many, but there just isn't enough time in a day. So I think the program team is really thoughtful about what they try to bring to us. And then student-led organizations, there's, the Network for Executive Women, which, the female population of the cohort participates in, and it's a great forum and network for, just connecting with other women in the group and hearing their perspectives. And there's a focus on bringing in, female CEOs and female executives to talk to the group beyond just the social things that we do, which is great. And there's, anything that you're interested in, there's probably already a club. And if not, the program team is really open to students coming to them with ideas to enhance the programming. So there's a lot of interesting things to fill your time if you have the time to devote to things outside of just the academics.
That's a great point. And I think we had a hunch when we moved to the Washington, D.C. area and the program grew a bit that we might see a few more executive MBA student organizations. The first couple were the Black Executive MBA and the Network of Executive Women. And now we're at 8 or 9 student organizations, broad swath of interests, everything from sort of more demographically oriented organizations to a consulting club, an entrepreneurship club, Money Matters, which is a personal finance club. So lots of different ways for people to get involved in. And you're right, there is this tradition of student self-governance at the University of Virginia, and that also applies to the executive MBA program, where if you can show that there's a critical mass of students who are interested in a particular topic and you want to start an organization, certainly can. I think we actually have the beginnings of a healthcare organization starting to start up with some members from our class of 2022 and maybe some members from our 2021 class as well. So that could be, are we now in double digits? Maybe with student organizations. So,
probably getting close. And you know, with the Money Matters, a classmate and I were really talking about our interest in personal finance, and you know, he had the idea to start this club, and I thought it was a great idea. I didn't have the capacity at that time to really be, you know, personally involved in kind of getting a club up and running. So I think it's important to know that you can be involved, but you can also say no if you have, you know, constraints in your work life or academic life and you just don't have the time to commit to starting something up. There are still ways to contribute, even if you're not founding that club.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. So some of our listeners may be wondering a bit about your experience sort of shifting to virtual classes with your class. Yeah, obviously with the outbreak of COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, mid-March or so, your classes moved to virtual delivery. And now here in quarter seven, you had at least an elective or two in this kind of hybrid format where there are some students in person, some students participating virtually in the same class session, but still most classes still remain online. How has that experience been, Emily?
Yeah, so I think when everything was new and evolving back in March, when this all really started to unfold, obviously nobody was excited to shift to all virtual classes. And there was a lot of uncertainty surrounding when we would be able to get back together in person, because I think that's an experience that so many of us value and, you know, we drive energy from it and kind of thrive on it. So I think the program team along with faculty have done an excellent job of assessing the situation, staying in constant communication with us about, you know, starting to shift to hybrid and what that might look like. So I did opt into our first hybrid residency, which was just offered this quarter for the first time. And it was an excellent experience. I felt really safe going into it. There were a lot of requirements that you had to meet. And, you know, Darden worked so hard to, you know, overhaul the classrooms so that, you know, the microphones in the ceiling would pick up the students who chose to go in person while the rest of the class is logged in virtually via Zoom, and have cameras that would, you know, focus on the speaker in the room so that everyone on Zoom could see who in the room is talking. And I think the professors were really well prepared to manage that dynamic as well between the in-room and the students who were logged in on Zoom to make sure that everyone got to participate and be involved and have that engaging experience. So I was really happy that Darden offered that and is offering that again for the second residency of this quarter. And I hope it's something that they can continue to offer and expand safely because it was night and day with, doing the full residencies on Zoom only. It was a great experience.
I'm so glad to hear that. And I appreciate you're making the point about the hybrid classes. As you might imagine, for Darden, there was an adjustment with, just like with every other organization out there in the world right now, COVID-19 happens and you have to adapt. And so this past 3 or 4 month period, gosh, how long has it been? Maybe about 6 months at this point. There was a lot of adaptation and investment in technology. And so the hybrid class technology that you just described, we had some of it, not all of it, and certainly didn't have that capacity if you go back 6-7 months ago. And so that's been, if there's a silver lining in all of this, certainly that's a good example of it. And, you know, Darden has always taken this kind of partnership view in terms of the educational experience. You know, students are an active partner in the educational enterprise. And, you know, I think the program team does a fantastic job sort of involving students in program decisions, asking for feedback, same for faculty. And I know your class has been, I mean, I know this has not been easy, but y'all have been great through this entire period and been very constructive and helpful to us as we've navigated what is a constantly evolving situation. I think we've oftentimes wish we had a crystal ball, and unfortunately, no one's quite sure how much longer this may be, but y'all have been tremendous throughout this past 6-month period. So credit to you and your classmates.
Thank you. And I mean, thank you to the program team and the faculty who worked so hard to make it happen, because they didn't have to. So many programs are virtual only, and I think it's really special that they stepped up to try to make it work.
Well, Emily, I'm curious, you've got a few more quarters to go here. What are you looking forward to accomplishing as you move into electives, as the end of the program draws near? Any things that are on your bucket list?
A bucket list. That's that's a great question. I'm looking forward to trying to formalize, how I can be useful in my organization with what I've learned so far. So along the way, the partners have challenged me to think, what are some very specific things that I can come back to the organization with and, work on or implement. So to have the opportunity to shape something is exciting. It's not just, hey, we had a conversation about this in class this weekend, let's try this. It's, a much bigger project, a much bigger undertaking. So I'm excited for that. I'm also challenging myself with my electives for the last two quarters of the program. I wanted to take the opportunity to learn things that I might not have otherwise gravitated towards. So I'm really excited to take the data science elective. I'm excited for Andy Wicks's Ultimate Questions elective. For those listeners who aren't familiar with all of the Darden core classes yet, Andy Wicks teaches ethics, and he has an elective that is very difficult to get into, that really challenges people to think and communicate, and I'm excited for that challenge. So I'm really looking forward to just kind of pushing myself and doing things I wouldn't have otherwise done.
It's great to hear that you're stretching in the elective period. I think so many of our prospective students will oftentimes ask us about concentrations or specializations. And we kind of share with them that, this is a general management program. The goal is to help you get broader, not necessarily narrower. And we stress that, the elective period is an opportunity to continue to explore for most, if not all, of our students. This is the last major educational experience they will have, something of a terminal degree. And so why not take that class that just seems interesting to you, even if it's not directly connected to what you do on a day-to-day basis, and maybe especially because it's not connected to you, to what you do on a day-to-day basis. Is that how you thought about the electives you chose?
Yes, absolutely. It would have been very easy to say, okay, I've never really, worked on strategy. I'm going to only take strategy electives and get really focused on that. But I wanted that broader experience. I wanted those unique classes that I wouldn't be able to find outside of Darden.
So I'll tell you a little bit of a story about Ultimate Questions. So when the 2020s were taking that class, we were recording some videos down in Charlottesville, and I kept interviewing some of those students right after they'd come out of class, and they were all in this very sort of like contemplative space about maybe I should just move out to the country, and it was amazing. I was like, what are y'all talking about in that class? And they're like, you ask a lot of deep questions in this class. And it seemed to be a really profound class. So I'm so interested to hear your experience with it, because it got them thinking about, again, ultimate questions, like these big life questions. And it really did seem like it got them out of their sort of everyday, this is who I am, this is what I do, and got them really focused on, well, why do you do that? And, why do you think about it that way? So hopefully you have the same experience, because it sounded like a really rich experience for them.
Yes, I'll send you the highlights.
Yeah, please do. So, you know, ethics is one of these things. I think Darden has had ethics in its core curriculum for a while. Always struck me as a really interesting topic for a case discussion. Is that a course that you enjoyed? I know you had. I mean, or are you coming up on that course? I'm trying to remember where it falls in the core curriculum.
We had that course the previous quarter, so Q6, and it was so fascinating because it's not, is this right or wrong? It's, you know, ethics is integral to business. And, you know, just the things that we were talking about, the cases, the problems that people face, they're not, you know, black and white. Well, that's really wrong and really bad, or that's really good. And, you know, people have to make hard decisions in business, and it's about how you make those decisions and, you know, the outcomes that they can create. You know, just learning a framework in that class was really helpful for understanding how to talk about ethics issues, because they can be really thorny, uncomfortable issues, and having a way to talk about them productively and frame a problem was really helpful.
I can imagine. And we had an admitted student event that Andy led, Andy Wicks. And I think that conversation continued on well into that evening on the Slack channel for the class of 2022 class. And so it was great to see how fired up the students were after just one ethics case. So I'm not surprised to hear that was your experience.
Yeah.
As well. So we always kind of wrap up with the last question here on the podcast, Emily. Any advice, suggestions you have for our prospective student listeners out there?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, be authentically you coming into this program. Like I said, Leadership Residency 1 can be a little bit overwhelming when you look around the room and you see all of these great people, but you're a great person too. Like, you know, the admissions team selected you for a very valid reason. You contribute something special to this class. And, you know, the most meaningful experience comes from people just being authentic. So everyone has something really great to offer, and your classmates are going to get so much more out of you if you're just being yourself and not compensating for something that you perceive as a weakness or having your guard up and not being vulnerable. Everyone's working through, you know, getting used to reacclimating and being in school and meeting new people and dealing with challenging topics that they might not have expertise in. So, you know, just be yourself and you'll enjoy it more. You'll get more out of it and your classmates will get more out of you.
That's great advice. And I would also stress that that's a great way to approach the application process, right? So we are trying to get a sense of the real you, the authentic you, because you will bring that, as Emily notes, to the classroom. And that will shape not only your learning experience, but also your classmates' learning experience. So Emily, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great talking with you. Always great to catch up, and best of luck as you finish up quarter 7 and move on into quarters 8, 9, and 10, and gosh, LR2. And I know our paths will cross again, but you'll have to let me at least know how ultimate questions goes.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, Brett.
And that was my interview with Emily Harper, a second year student in our executive MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's exec@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.